Wow, Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful! Oh my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
Shaw, five step, straight drop. Fires, right side, picked off. Rogers, come already got it at the 40. Goodbye. 10-5. Touchdown. Cardinals retake the lead.
Oh, baby.
Go ahead, Wolf. You can say it. DRC was saying it by high-stepping. Take that, message board hater.
Now, why are you going to do that to me, Paulie? Why?
Especially on your birthday. It was out of line, wasn't it? That was out of line. It is Wolf's birthday over there, Darren Urban. Jim Omohundro over there. I actually had outfitted you with the NFL Network Mike Flagg, and I didn't quite realize that. I thought there was obviously a mistake at hand, and I grabbed and usurped the NFL Network Mike Flagg. It was intended for you on your birthday, so I'll apologize in
advance.
He looks
good for 32, doesn't he, Paul?
Well, thank you very much, yeah. Darren. I appreciate that. Yeah. But truth in podcasting, I'm 47 years old. Continue.
You know, the proper gift for you real quick, Wolf, and we'll move on, would have been a set of reading glasses. I've noticed, Wolf, you've had a hard time reading your watch, some of the fine print and some of the game materials, et cetera. The reading glasses, do you think that what might be in a wrapped package when you get home by chance?
You know, what maybe? Is it with you, Paulie? You generally laugh at my malaise.
I see.
I'm having a hard time seeing. I need the LASIK. Get off me.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you sort of remind me right now of what I wanted to do at the end of the Cardinals' win against the Texans. Not high step. I wanted to go like Russell Crowe from Gladiator and just shout at all the masses who weren't satisfied with a 28-21 win, who failed to remember that not too long ago the Cardinals used to lose games like that. I wanted to grab that microphone like Russell Crowe in Gladiator and just scream, "Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?" Actually, because I thought it was pretty entertaining myself. You know, so
was that Russell Crowe?
You know, who wants a blowout second half? Darren, fact check.
I'm not going to argue with you because it was. Well, I don't know if entertaining was the right word. I know my wife was fearing a heart attack in the second half, but it's funny. I got trade emails with a guy who you would think has the perfect life. He's a long, long, long time Cardinal fan. I think he's been a Cardinal fan for over 40 years. You know what his job is, Wolf?
What?
He works at the Ritz-Carlton in Hawaii.
Wow.
You would think his life would be perfect. He gets to go every day. He's going to work at like one of the most beautiful resorts there could be, right? At the Ritz-Carlton in Hawaii.
Well, what's he doing out there, though? I mean, he's got a toothbrush in his hand, cleaning the corners.
No. He's a main sales guy or something like that. I mean, he's up there, I'm guessing. But he's a very rational type guy. He actually emails me to actually bring him down off his crazy tangents because he admitted, like you were saying, Paul, he was one of those guys that watched that game and was just freaking out even though there was a win at the end. And, you know, with all due respect to Mark, I agree with you, which is a win is a win. And as Coach Ken Wisenhunt said a couple of times since that game, if we have things to work on, which they do, and we have things to improve, which they do, it's always much better to do it after a win.
Well, here on Cardinals Underground with Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisa, and azcardinals.com, I say a win is a win and is a win, and it doesn't matter how. Wolf, what do you say? Gavel, as I stumble all over myself. I'm worked up already.
No, I get that, Paulie. I think the points have been well made here. The fact that, you know, they do have a lot of things they've got to iron out. They do have a lot of things they have got to get better at if they want to have a postseason in 2009. There's no doubt about that. But again, you won the game. Right now, it's clear after four games, the Arizona Cardinals have not found the magic that they had last postseason. Have not found it yet. The good news is this. You're 2-2. You're not 0-4. You're not 1-3. Somehow, some way, you're at 500. You're keeping your head a little bit above water right now early in the season and hoping that you're going to find you're going to find that formula that you had last postseason. The same core group of guys are here. That's why I'm confident they will. The biggest thing is this. Just don't get yourself out of contention early in the season before you find that formula.
Is that even going to happen, though? I mean, at this point, the 49ers lose, the Seahawks are what they are, and you look at the schedules, I'm thinking you could be looking. You don't want this to happen for the Cardinals, but you could be looking at a situation as long as they tread some water for a while. Because of the way the schedule works out with the NFC West and where the NFC West is, I don't see them getting out of contention because it looks like those three teams are going to be in it for the long haul.
Well, if they don't learn how to play with a lead, though, they might fall out of contention. I mean, would you guys boil it down to that? I mean, if there is one, like, we all agree things need to be worked on. And there's a couple of things it boils down to for me. One, the killer instinct still isn't quite there, obviously evidenced by the second half. And number two, guess what? The entire season, if you want to, can correlate to the play of the offensive line. Does it not? I mean, you know, Kurt Warner gets hit and harassed against the Niners, they lose. The game against Indianapolis, even worse, they lose. However, Kurt goes untouched against Jacksonville, and he sets an NFL single-season game record for completion percentage. And look at the difference between the first and the second half against the Houston Texans. 20-23 in the first half, a .140 QB rating. And then in the second half, all of a sudden, the protection wasn't there. Is it that easy?
But it's funny you bring that up, because you say you don't think the killer instinct is there yet. You could make the argument that one of their problems in the second half was that there was too much killer instinct, and this is why I say that. Because instead of going to a more conservative ground approach, Ken Wisenhunt gives Warner the run-pass checks. They decide they're going to throw it because the Houston defense is stacking the line of scrimmage, and they're trying to throw it. To me, that is killer instinct. When you're trying to throw it with that big of a lead and you're trying to build up more points, to me, there was an attempt at killer instinct. It didn't get executed.
I guess I'm referring more to intensity level. Right. To me, I just noticed they dialed it down a notch on the intensity scale, and that's enough to get you beat in the NFL. Unless you're playing the Raiders or the Rams, I mean, that's enough to get you beat. And or was it a case, well, for the defense just on the field for most of the second half and they wore down? I don't know.
I don't know, Paulie. I kind of agree with both of you guys. First of all, Paul, congratulations. You're finally on the offensive line. Something I've been talking about week number one.
I see.
About San Francisco's ability to rush four and drop seven and literally provide the blueprint for how you attack the Arizona Cardinals. So good regurgitation right there, Paul.
So I'm late to your own birthday party. Okay.
Exactly. That's number one. Now, in regard to what happened in the second half against the Houston Texans, a lot of people are fond of pointing to the first 14 plays of that second half and saying, what? You threw 13 out of the first 14 plays. You threw the ball. Now, you are right.
I got that question on Channel 3 Sunday night.
Absolutely, Paulie. Yes. You are right in regard to the fact that they had a lot of check with me's, which is what I think they ought to be doing with Kurt Warner. Now, let me just say this, though. Why in the world would you go, and this speaks to what Darren was saying, why in the world would you go into your four-minute offense when you've got 30 minutes to play? Why would you even consider that? I think people are having a hard time understanding that this team is built to throw the football. It is built. Now, I go back to the Atlanta game. I'll go back to the Atlanta game from a year ago. And you look at what they did to win that game in a four-minute drill. In a four-minute drill against the Atlanta Falcons in a huge home playoff game, they threw the ball to win the game. They didn't try to run it. They didn't play it conservatively. And I was up there in the booth, literally. And I know Jim Omohundro, ladies and gentlemen, yes indeed, on our on-site podcast technician, will testify that I was up there saying, they played to win the game.
Are you a witness, Omo?
Because you know what they did? They did what they are. They were true to who they were and are, and that is throwing the football.
Ronnie Yogi
Berra? I think the sooner people understand that and embrace that, I think the easier it will be for them for the rest of the season.
I think people, and correct me if I'm wrong, Paul, on this, but I think people got diverted off of that. Even if they were thinking that, there were two things that people think about. They think about establishing more of a run in the postseason last year, and maybe some of those big pass plays that they had last year when they maybe only had two receivers on the field, the deep passes to Fitz. That's number one. And much, much more importantly, I think people got diverted off of that thought process when they drafted Beanie Wells in the first round. I think fans assumed once Beanie Wells got drafted and you spent a first round pick on a running back that that would change some things. I think, I'm not saying it's right.
It's a great point. No,
but
absolutely.
I think that's
it's
what happened.
It's a great point. Let me just say this, though, quickly about that. I do believe that Beanie Wells was drafted more so for life after Kurt Warner. Then he was drafted to come in here right now and make this massive impact.
You just gave Kurt Warner a 2-year, $23 million contract extension. The time is now. There is a window of availability with Q and Larry Fitzgerald. They need a running game. They want an effective running game now, Wolf. This isn't an investment in the future. There's no 2 or 3 years from now in the NFL. Unless you're the Rams or the Raiders or some rebuilding project. Come on.
Well, Paul, correct me if I'm wrong here, Darren, but I think Kurt's contract is pretty much front-end loaded here.
Yes, that's true.
That
is absolutely true.
That is absolutely true. I guess what I'm saying is I think Beanie Wells is more of an eye formation. We're going to get in the eye and we're going to bang away on you. Now, I'm not saying he can't do the one-back stuff, but right now he's still in a learning phase, and he's really behind the curve, I think, because of all the time he's missed in training camp. This is something that has been well documented here. Okay, now look, the best personnel group, again, I think, this is just my own opinion, for the Arizona Cardinals is half personnel, what we call half, or I call 11. One tight end, one running back. If you just put Beanie back there by himself right now, he seems to be assimilating that or absorbing that personnel group slowly and not nearly as well as he has a two-back set, because he's accustomed, I think, to being in a two-back set. We're going to have to wait and see. I think Beanie Wells is going to impact this team before you get into November. I really do believe that in the next couple of weeks. I think he's going to come around very much like Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie in the second half really started coming around and getting it last year. I think the same thing is going to happen for Beanie Wells. You guys know me, and let me throw this caveat in here. You guys know I am a bang-it-down-your-face type guy. I love rushing the football. I'm a big believer in being able to run the football, and I love it more so than anybody else. But this team is not built for that. They aren't. They're built to wing it.
You know what's funny is I had that same thought about head coach Ken Whisenhunt. I mean, he's a guy who loves it more than you, Wolf. They'll line it up and just cram it down your throat.
Exactly.
Especially with the lead in the second half of a game and working the clock. So it had to be almost an out-of-body experience that he was fielding questions at a Monday press conference, right, about how many passes were thrown to start the second half. And he sort of took a self-effacing quip at himself, which I thought was interesting, right, about how, well, if the coach would only call Beanie's number some more.
I don't know if he said idiot, but something along those lines. The idiot who's calling plays just call for more, and obviously he's that guy. I totally agree. I go back to that game last year, the opening game in San Francisco when they had the lead 23-13, and they ate up 8 minutes on a drive that was basically edge, 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 edge. Where it was all running. I mean, to me, that's where I thought it was going. And what happened after that game? You won by 10 points, and all Kurt Warner's body language and his comments after that win in San Francisco was, this just doesn't work for me, basically. I mean, he didn't say it quite like that, but that's how he felt. And then what happened? They Anquan and Fitz blew up the next week against Miami, and whoosh, there they went. And I don't know if Wiz has completely gotten away from what he ultimately believes in, but I think he's a lot like Wolf. I think he completely believes in the run, but I think he also wants to win with what he's got, and with what he's got, it means you're going to pass probably more than conventional wisdom would normally say.
In fact, he also said that afterwards, and he sort of made a joke too, well, maybe the answer is to call more straight runs instead of the run pass option and remove the check with me option from Kurt Warner. I mean, to me, those were the two takeaways from the Monday post-Houston press conference. In fact, let's take a listen.
It's not Kurt. Kurt's operating the offense the way he's taught to, and he does a very good job with that. Doesn't have anything to do with him. If we give him the option to do it, it's pretty clear cut, because he's going to get yelled at if he if he runs the ball into an eight-man front.
And, Wolf, you have no problem with that. Kurt Warner is over center, and he sees an eight-man front or more in the box, and boom, he checks out of it. Is that what you're saying?
And I don't want to cut you off, but, Wolf, I want you to also – I want the question asked about – I mean, it reminds me a little of A Few Good Men – with the, or you're getting the orders and you fulfill the order. I mean, Kurt Warner, I mean, he's been around a long time. He's a Pro Bowl quarterback. And in a lot of ways, he's a coach on the field. And
you're saying that Kurt ordered the code red.
No.
Saying you don't want the answers. You want the truth.
What I'm saying is if you get the order from Jack Nicholson / Ken Whisenhunt.
Did you order the code red?
You can't handle the truth.
Can't he overrule it? Or is it ultimately, even if you're a Pro Bowl quarterback who knows you got to run a little bit, is it ultimately come back to you can't be going off and
no, double-crossing the coach? No, you've got to actually do what you've practiced to do, and you've got to look and find out, okay, if they have this front or this many guys in the box, we're going to throw the ball. And, you know, if they have this many guys, we're going to run it. I mean, it's a run-pass check with me. And yeah, I think Wiz said it best. You're going to be scolded.
Yeah, you're going to get sent to Gitmo if you don't do it that way.
You're going to basically, right, you're going to be yelled at if, in fact, you just run the ball into the pile. So, look, again, I look at this team and their ability to run the ball, and to me, I want to see a lot more of the 11 personnel and the check with me's right there. Stop and think about this. If, in fact, Kurt Warner were protected better in the second half, because that's what it was. It literally has been. Paulie, his regurgitation early about the offensive line.
My updated analysis with the Texans game as evidence.
Exactly. His regurgitation of the way the season has gone and the way the offensive line has really impacted the entire team. And the entire fortunes of the team, because it impacts the defense as well. If you're not moving the ball, if you're not scoring points, if you're turning the ball over deep in the other team's red zone, the defense gets frustrated. It's just human nature. But if you're doing that and you go back to that second half against the Texans, look at the difference. It was. He was protected in the first half. They should have had 28 points on the board. Kurt Warner's bink, 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 moving the ball all over the place. Nobody had a problem with it. Nobody. And now suddenly, because they're jamming up the box and they're still only rushing four or five and they're getting pressure in the second half on Kurt Warner, now they can't even do what they do best, which is throw the football. Look, if you're in the fourth quarter, I can understand where you want to see them run the ball more. The problem was that the Houston Texans were roaring back at that point into the fourth quarter. All the momentum had gone their way. To me, I'm still going to hang my hat. Not that it makes me comfortable, because it doesn't, but I'm still going to hang my hat on Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, and Steve Breston. It's what they do.
Ron Wolfley going, Adrian Wilson here on Cardinals Underground. Look, man, it's time to play some football. You know, you did that, Wolf. You said, look. And let me tell you this much. There I was on the sideline, right? And we had a microphone on head coach Ken Whisenhunt as part of Maximum Cardinals every Saturday at 3 on 12 News. You can see this for yourself. I'm sure it's going to be, the footage is going to be in there. He literally, before the second half kickoff, said to the folks upstairs, the coaches, we're not taking our foot off the gas. He literally said that.
And that goes back to what Darren said. They were aggressive. I don't have a problem with that. Don't have a problem with that at all, especially based on what the Texans were trying to do. What if you went ahead? What if you went ahead and you just ran? You ran the football into eight-man fronts, seven-man fronts if you're in 11 personnel, okay? And people were just stuffing you.
I got an answer.
Do you think you
Darren's
wouldn't
got
be?
His hand
what?
Up.
You know what happens?
What?
The Monday Night Meltdown. That's what happens.
Bingo.
Because that's what the Cardinals did.
Yeah.
You know, they got that big lead against the Bears, and they ran it into the line over and over and over, and you
can
got the meltdown.
You can leave.
Okay.
Because you know what? That
pretty
ladies
soon
and
you
gentlemen,
got Ron Wolfley in the booth saying Timmy Hightower's never fumbled the ball, and then boom, you know, the ball's going back the other way and the meltdown begins. You know, give us the plane dive sound
because
effect.
Because
you
know why? Darren can handle the truth.
Let me ask you.
He can
guys
handle
this,
it because that is the truth right there. That's exactly what could have. Look, it came down to the fact the Arizona Cardinals could not move the ball, be it running it or throwing it, period. That's why the Houston Texans were allowed back in the game. The offensive line to me is the fulcrum to this team. It is the tipping point.
But you know what? That's still part of the truth. If you want the whole truth and nothing but the truth, gentlemen, can't you put some of this on the defense in the second half? Weren't we waiting the majority of the second half for someone to make a play? Oh, how long were goodness. We waiting for what DRC did eventually at the very end? I mean, how much of this, you know, how much of the attention and the focus has come off the defense when there should be some of the blame shared in that second half by the D? No?
You were waiting for plays. I got 2 points to quickly make. I was going through a bunch of photos by one of our team photographers, and Clark Hagen's got... screwed out of a sack, it looks like, because there's a picture, perfect picture of Schaub, knee down, Hagen's pulling him down, ball clearly still in Schaub's hand that obviously was never called because they didn't get any sacks. I wanted to point that out. And number two, it was funny. I was, by the time DRC made his play, I was down on the field like you are, Paul. And I remember right before that play, it was, you know, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8. It was right near midfield. I think the Texans were at their 42-yard line. There's under 3 minutes left. I said out loud, which nobody heard because it was so loud and I was not really near anybody, I said, this is the play right here. If they don't stop them, they're done.
I'm not buying that. That's easy to say.
Now, I didn't think they were going to get a pick, but I'm like, if you don't stop them there, I think they get the first down, they drain the rest of the clock, and Chris Brown kicks a field goal, Chris Brown with a K, kicks a field goal on the last play of the game, and the Texans win 24-21. I sincerely believe that before DRC made the play. Now, again, when I say the play's got to come here, I'm just talking about knocking it down and not giving up a first down. I never really expected an interception, especially from a guy with one hand.
Nobody would make that claim if it weren't true, Paul.
Well, I said the Cardinals were going to the Super Bowl a year ago, and just nobody heard me on the sideline. How convenient was that?
Paul, why don't you break down the offensive line play again and how critical it is here in the first four games?
Well, I just decided you're wrong because it's more than the offensive line. I just went ahead and reversed course on my own analysis and decided the defense is partly to blame there with the lack of plays in the second half.
You know what? They made that play, though, and then when the Texans came down, they made that incredible goal line stand. I mean, I looked it up. There was 11 plays for the Texans in that game where they needed 1 yard for a first down or a touchdown, and the defense stopped them on 7 of those plays, including not only the end play, but that first series in the third quarter where Calais Campbell makes the great play on special teams to stop the punt return touchdown, and then they stop them on 4 straight plays. They get no points of that whole thing, and I it's really hard to lay it on the defense when the offense didn't do anything to keep them off the field.
So if you want to earn your money, Wolf, as a Cardinals analyst, here we go. Yeah. Explain to us an Arizona defense right now as they head into Seattle, going against a healthy or at least healthy enough Matt Hasselbeck, who just carved up Jacksonville like a Halloween pumpkin with 4 touchdowns, right? Explain to us an Arizona defense that is number one in the NFL when it comes to rushing D and 32nd in passing defense. What do we make of the Cardinals' D?
Boy, I'll tell you what, that is an incredible stat right there when you think about in the preseason. We're all talking about the secondary and how good we actually thought the secondary was going to be.
Darren said it. Nobody heard it, but Darren said it.
For the Arizona Cardinals.
That's just wrong.
And we were all worried with the loss of Antonio Smith how the rush defense was going to be. And now it's just the flip of that. Just the reverse of this. Let me just say this. I don't think the secondary has played anywhere close to its potential. That's A. B, the tip of the spear is DRC. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's not a coincidence that DRC has been getting torched and the secondary has not been what it was a year ago. Third point. No pass rush.
Ding, 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 ding.
I mean, Butkus. And at some point in time, you're going to have to man up in the secondary. You're going to have to say, we're going man free. And you know what? You've got him. 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 I'll put a safety in the middle of the field. And we're bringing 5 guys. We're bringing 5 guys that are bent on doing nothing but bending the quarterback's face mask. And until you get that type of pressure, I don't care who you are, you're not going to be successful in the NFL. You've got to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. And right now, there is a dearth of pressure. that well, is being applied.
If you're Bill Davis, can you trust DRC right now against TJ, who's your daddy, for example, right? I mean, can you trust him?
Yeah, you don't. I don't. At this point, I don't know if you have a choice. It was funny. Adrian Wilson said in the locker room the other day, people were talking about DRC, and he made the point that we play better when he plays well.
That's why he's the tip of the spear.
And I agree. And that's
because A-Dub gets to do more things.
Adrian gets to do more things. But you know what? It's not just Adrian doing more things. I think at this point, for all the veterans you have in that defensive backfield with the Brian McFadden and Adrian Wilson and Antro Roll, I think they all understand very crystal clearly that DRC is the guy. DRC is the number one shutdown corner. If he's not playing well, I think they understand that's not a good thing. But I also agree with Wolf at this point, which is the pass. You gotta get more pass rush. I'm not sure how you do it at this point.
Yeah.
If it's leaving guys on an island in the secondary, it's not your most favorite thing to do. But they've got to get more pressure because again, the pressure is what makes a secondary a lot of the times, and it's what changes games and creates turnovers.
Let me just say this too. It was so good to see Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie make that play. That is, remember a week ago, Paulie, you actually pointed this out. This is one of your more salient points.
Where I didn't regurgitate this one?
No, this was something that was original indeed. You literally said he's saying all the right things, wasn't he? He admitted.
He realized it wasn't just athleticism that would get him through the NFL.
Exactly right. Maybe this was a baby step for DRC getting back to where he was a year ago. And it's so ironic that the team that he just totally annihilated last year, team that voted for DRC for the Pro Bowl was whom? The Seattle Seahawks. And Matt Hasselbeck, to be able to see DRC on film against the Texans make that play, that game-changing, game-winning touchdown, that pick six, when DRC had three picks against the Seattle Seahawks a year ago, that to me could be telling.
You want DRC on that wall. You need DRC on that wall.
There's no doubt. Billy Davis wants DRC on that island is what he wants him to be apropos.
Did you order the cold bread?
Let me tell you what, guys. There's going to be a line forming off the left side of the Seattle Seahawks offensive line of Cardinals pass rushers. Everybody wants to get themselves some because they are running essentially their fourth string left tackle. I mean, Walter Jones done, at least until November. Sean Locklear, he's not going to play. The guy who was filling in, Brandon Fry, the third stringer, he's on IR effective early this week with a neck injury. They're going with a kid off the practice squad by the name of Kyle Williams, and they just signed another guy off the street to be his backup because this Kyle Williams guy was dealing with a sprained knee the second half of last week's game against Jacksonville. So I'm thinking maybe the Cardinals will. I mean, seriously, Wolf, in a situation like that, I mean, you absolutely exploit that weakness by the Seahawks in your game plan, don't you?
You try to. You try to do everything you can. If you're going to bring any pressure, not only, of course, do you put your best pass rusher over there, but, of course, if you're going to bring any type of pressure, bring it to his side because it's a big mental game as well. If you're going to blitz a corner, bring it to his side. If you're going to bring Carlos Dansby, you're going to bring Adrian Wills, bring it to his side because, again, he's a young guy and – boy, what a scary proposition that's got to be to have your fourth team, your fourth option at the left tackle spot out there.
I mean,
I'm surprised they didn't take somebody else and move him out there, just a veteran guy.
And they're dealing with at least seven starters that are out due to injury. I mean, what do you make of Seattle, Darren? I mean, you know, it's a huge enigma right now in the NFL because with a healthy Hasselbeck, look what they did, 41-0 against Jacksonville.
Well, you know, I was talking to a player about that and how that Jacksonville game turned out. I mean, there is part of me that looks at, you know, look, I think Seattle played a great game. There's no question about that. And having Matt Hasselbeck back there is just a gigantic difference maker for that team, and they've proven that over and over and over. I also think that Jacksonville traveled as far as you possibly humanly can travel in this league.
Yeah, nice plane ride home for Jacksonville after that beatdown.
And it's one of those things where you go out there, you get a little bit behind, things aren't going that well, and you kind of start packing in a New England game. And so, you know, I think that might have played into
frostbite.
They should have just landed in St. Louis on the way back.
<That's> and
set up the franchise.
Right. But, so I think that was part of what happened. I don't know if Seattle is a 41-0 type of winner, but there's no question they're in better shape. And having hosting the Cardinals there, I mean, that's going to ratchet up everybody's game. It'll be interesting to see where the injuries have taken them offensively and how they can overcome that and that kind of thing. But
be careful. Be careful here. Stop and think about it. Look at it from the Seahawks' perspective. They're 2-3. They have an opportunity to get back to 500 with all the injuries, with all the problems that they've had. They have an opportunity to get back to 500. Forget about who they're playing. Now insert the fact that they are playing the Arizona Cardinals, a division rival, where they can literally move in front of the Arizona Cardinals within the division and get back to 500 and make hay on the San Francisco 49ers that have a bye. And then start breaking down the fact that they're looking at the Arizona Cardinals going, we've got Matt Hasselbeck back. A huge lift that we've already talked about. That's a huge lift to that football team. And the Arizona Cardinals are not playing their best football right now. They look at the matchups. The sacks per pass attempt from the Seattle Seahawks, number 6 in the NFL. Number 6 in the NFL, guys. How do you beat the Arizona Cardinals and that offense? You get pressure on Kurt Warner. That's got to be an encouraging sign for them. The Seattle Seahawks are number 9 in pass defense in the NFL. Even though they're missing Marcus Trufant, that's got to make them feel pretty good getting ready to play the Arizona Cardinals, and they're tied for number 5 in points allowed. Their defense, at least on paper right now, probably has them emboldened playing the Arizona Cardinals.
The injuries obviously have made a factor, but one thing that not a ton of people have talked about, I mean, a lot of people thought linebacker Aaron Curry was the best player in that draft. They got him, whatever it was, 4th or 5th overall, and one of the huge concerns about him coming in was, should he be drafted that high, as great of a player as he is, because he's a linebacker who may not be that much of a pass rusher. Well, he's already proven that he's a pass rusher and a playmaker and a turnover-making machine.
Leads the team in tackles.
So I think having Aaron Curry has made a huge difference for them already. And I think that's something that can't be forgotten.
And that kid is only going to get better.
Yep. He's sort of a Patrick Willis. He ran a 4.5 40, you know, at the combine. I mean, you know, he sort of has some of those same dynamics.
He could be a Patrick Willis.
Could be, yeah. It's well, let me ask you this, though, guys. We haven't brought up the whole, and let's just wrap it up with this, at least in terms of, as far as I'm concerned, this whole flip the switch mentality that we saw, right, and it's been talked about at length. Did we see that in the Texans game? Because we haven't really seen 4 quarters from the Cardinals yet. We have not seen a complete effort from the Cardinals yet. And in a game like this that means so much, in a rivalry like this, I just wonder if this is the game where we get the Cardinals' undivided attention and focus for 4 quarters, and then hence, what can they do in that situation?
Well, I mean, I hope. I mean, it's funny, Wisenhunt kind of poked fun at that a little bit in his Monday press conference, saying, you know, we played 2 really good quarters against the Texans, and he kind of paused and he's like, hopefully we'll get at least 3 this weekend and
right.
Go on. You know, hey,
it's 2 really good quarters against Jacksonville, then a lackluster second half.
They're going to need a full game. I mean, I don't see them blowing out Seattle, and I don't see them getting blown out, and they're going to need a full game to win something like this. And you know, we're not going to know. At this point, it really feels like you're letting it play out on a week-to-week basis to really get a sense of how each week's going to be.
This is who they are. It really is, and it is maddening. There is no doubt about it. The lights seem to go on, and the lights seem to go off on this team. It happened all last year. And then you look again at what they did in the postseason. All 4 games, including Super Bowl 43, the Arizona Cardinals came from behind in those games. They did the impossible in the fourth quarter of Super Bowl 43, where they had to score 14 points to take the lead in the game against the number 1 defense in the National Football League that had been yielding 14 points in an entire game. And they did it in a quarter. This is how scary they can be. The light can go on, and you can see what they did to the Houston Texans in the first half. Played what I believe may have been the most complete first half in the Ken Wisenhunt era, where they went out and they dominated offensively, defensively, and in transition with the special teams. This is who they are, guys. This is what they do. And this is why I say I have never been around a team that was able to do what these guys have done. And I will tell you this. There's a big debate. What is mental toughness? Is it never having that switch go off? Is it never having the lights go off? Is that what mental toughness is? Or is it having the lights go off and then being able to find that switch and turn it back on and pull games out of the fire? Is that what mental toughness is all about? And I don't know what the answer is on that one.
I will say, for our fans out there, it's mental toughness watching a team like that because you got to be mentally tough to deal with that.
That's a great point.
You know what scares me the most? You talk about scary over there, Wolf. You talk about scary. What if Seattle breaks out their secret weapon? Be afraid. Be very afraid if the pregame anthem is sung by Kenny Loggins.
Oh,
be
no.
I mean, that's their secret weapon. They bring him out. I don't know what the record is win-loss-wise when Kenny Loggins is in the house, but oh my goodness, if he's
probably
there.
Again, one,
the trepidation, Wolf. I mean, you saw it firsthand up close a year ago.
I was, actually, at the pregame show. They had Kenny Loggins on before me, and there were two things I wanted to ask him. If he'd break into a little highway into the danger zone. What's it called? Danger zone,
I believe.
Well, don't act like you don't know. You got him to sign your 8-track from Caddyshack. I know you did.
I wanted to ask him that. Not only that, too, I was wondering what was caught in his beard, because his beard was like a small woodland creature.
That's Seattle, though. There's a lot of beards. There's a lot of flannel. You know, that's the way Seattle is. A lot of coffee. Do you think this is the year I go down on the sideline and they finally put a Starbucks on the sideline at False Start Field? Because let's be honest, that's the last 100 yards left in Seattle where there isn't a Starbucks.
Actually, isn't it Seattle's best? Isn't that what's everywhere more than Starbucks?
Yeah, it could be. Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Is this the point of the podcast, by the way, as we come to a screeching halt here on Cardinals Underground, where, Darren, you break out the gift for Ron Wolfley on his birthday? Gift? No, you got empty-handed? How dare you? That's unbelievable, Wolf. No love over here on your birthday. I tell you what, we'll go down to Walgreens. I'll get you some of those reading glasses for $10 that my dad used to lose, okay?
How about I just go get some LASIK and send you the bill? All right.
Oh, that's got sponsor written all over it, Wolf. And that'll do it here on this edition of Cardinals Underground for the nearsighted Ron Wolfley, the myopia setting in here on his 47th birthday. Darren Urban, myopic in more ways than one, Ron Wolfley, your analysis and your eyesight. For Jim Omohundro, I'm Paul Calvisi here on Cardinals Underground and azcardinals.com.
You can't handle the truth.